Well, thank you very much for being here today.
Muchas gracias por estar aquí hoy.
We're discussing the issue of Baptist identity.
Discutir el asunto de identidad bautista.
We are distinguishing Baptist identity from Baptist distinctives.
Estamos distinguiendo la identidad bautista de los distintivos bautistas.
Baptist identity is a much more comprehensive idea about how to look at Baptist life.
La idea de identidad bautista es una idea más complejo para ver la vida bautista.
Now, as we will see today, Baptist distinctives are a part of Baptist identity.
Como vamos a ver hoy, distintivos bautistas son parte de identidad bautista.
We looked, first of all, at the issue of orthodoxy.
Primero vemos el asunto de ortodoxia.
We talked about God as a revealing God.
Hablamos de Dios como Dios que revela quién es.
We talked about the issue of divine of the Trinity.
Hablamos del asunto de Trinidad.
We talked about the deity and humanity of Christ.
Hablamos de deidad y humanidad de Cristo.
Then we began talking about Baptists are evangelical.
Empezamos de hablar de los bautistas son evangélicos.
And we dealt a little bit more with the idea of the inspiration of Scripture.
Tratamos
that.
La idea de la inspiración de las Escrituras.
And now we have begun to talk about the issue of justification by faith.
Empezamos de hablar del asunto de justificación por la fe.
We talked about how people are saved only by grace.
Hablamos como la gente solo son salvos por la gracia.
And this grace is communicated to us in our minds by the Word of God.
Esta gracia es comunicado a nosotros en nuestras mentes por la palabra de Dios.
So faith comes by hearing.
Entonces fe viene por oír.
Today we want to continue looking at this issue of evangelicalism.
Hoy queremos continuar a ver el asunto de evangélicos.
And we will start with the idea that there is the necessity of an immediate operation of the work of the Spirit of God for salvation.
Y vamos a empezar que hay una necesidad inmediata del trabajo del Espíritu Santo en la vida de alguien.
This work of the Spirit generally can be considered under two categories.
Este trabajo del Espíritu Santo puede ser considerado bajo dos categorías.
That is effectual calling.
Es la llamada efectuoso.
And sanctification.
Y sanctificación.
We could also look at the work of the Spirit in the life of the church.
También puedes ver la obra del Espíritu Santo en la vida de la iglesia.
And how he gives gifts to all believers for the edifying of the body of Christ.
Como da dones a toda la iglesia por la edificación del cuerpo de Cristo.
But we will focus mainly on these two issues of effectual calling and sanctification.
Vamos a enfocarnos mayormente en esos dos asuntos de llamamiento efectuoso y sanctificación.
Effectual calling is called that effectual because it is something that actually gives what it intends to give.
Se llama llamamiento efectuoso porque es esto. Tiene un efecto y causa y tiene este efecto que hace lo que propone de hacer.
Effectual calling is not just the offering of salvation by the Holy Spirit.
El llamamiento efectuoso no solamente es ofreciendo la salvación por el Espíritu Santo,
but is the actual granting of a changed heart by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Pero es dando un corazón cambiado por la obra del Espíritu Santo.
We do not get regenerated by having faith, but we get faith by being regenerated.
No somos regenerados por tener fe, pero tenemos fe por la obra de regeneración.
So here is what one Baptist theologian has said about the issue of effectual calling.
Eso es lo que dijo un teólogo bautista sobre el asunto de llamamiento efectuoso.
Until a man is given life and renewed by the Holy Spirit,
hasta que un hombre tiene vida y está renovado por el Espíritu Santo.
And by the way, this is the Second London Confession, chapter 8.
Esa es la Confesión de Londres, capítulo 8.
I'll let you find it.
I got it.
So until a man is given life and renewed by the Holy Spirit, he is dead in sins and trespasses.
What paragraph are you in?
Oh, see. Well, let's see. Oh, no. I'm sorry. All right. Second London Confession, chapter 10, section 2. Unless I made my notes wrong. Sorry.
Got it. No worries.
Is that what it says?
Uh-huh. Dice, hasta que es vivificado renovado por el Espíritu Santo. Got it.
Okay. Yep. So, and so is entirely passive in this work of salvation.
Es siendo esto enteramente pasivo al estar muerto en sus delitos y pecados.
A work that does not proceed from anything good foreseen in him, nor from any power or agency resident in him.
Es una obra que no procede de él, ni de poder de él, pero es viene de afuera de él.
Would you like to just go ahead and read the rest of that, next couple lines?
Hasta que es vivificado y renovado por el Espíritu Santo, es capacitado de este modo para responder a este llamado y para recibir la gracia que este ofrece y transmite. Y esto por un poder no menor que el que resucitó a Cristo de los muertos.
Yes. Now, the New Hampshire Confession says this.
La Confesión de Nuevo Hampshire dijo esto.
We believe that in order to be saved, we must be regenerated or born again.
Creemos que para ser salvo, tenemos que ser regenerado o nacido de nuevo.
That regeneration consists in giving a holy disposition to the mind.
Que regeneración consiste de dar una disposición santo de la mente, a la mente.
And is effected in a manner above our comprehension or calculation.
Es efectuado arriba, más allá que nuestra comprensión o entendimiento.
By the power of the Holy Spirit in connection with divine truth.
Por el poder del Espíritu Santo en conexión con la verdad divina.
So as to secure our voluntary obedience to the gospel.
Para asegurar nuestra obediencia voluntaria al Evangelio.
And that it's proper evidence.
Y que es evidencia propio.
Is found in the holy fruit which we bring forth to the glory of God.
Se encuentra en el fruto santo que traemos adelante a Dios santo.
So we see how the New Hampshire Confession combines effectual calling and sanctification.
Vemos en la Confesión de Nuevo Hampshire combina el llamamiento efectuoso y santificación.
As a work of the Spirit that begins in the sinner's heart and then continues until the time of his death.
Como una obra del Espíritu Santo que empieza en el corazón del pecador y continúa hasta que su muerto.
So let's look at some of what the Second London Confession says about sanctification.
Vamos a ver un parte de lo que dice la Confesión de Londres de la Santificación.
Now, I don't have my particular reference.
I got it.
On this. I just
you start reading, I'll find it.
Okay. They who are united to Christ, effectually called and regenerated.
Aquellos que están unidos a Cristo son llamados eficazmente y regenerados.
Having a new heart and a new spirit created in them.
teniendo un nuevo corazón, un nuevo espíritu creados en ellos,
through the virtue of Christ's resurrection,
en el virtud de la muerte y resurrección de Cristo,
and that phrase means by the same power that raised Christ from the dead.
Esta frase quiere decir del mismo poder que levantó Cristo entre los muertos.
As Paul argues in Ephesians 1.
Como Pablo argumenta en Efesios 1.
Are also further sanctified, really and personally.
Son aún más sanctificados de un modo real y personal.
Through the same virtue by his word and spirit dwelling in them.
Mediante la misma virtud por su palabra y espíritu que mora en ellos.
Now I skip some and I pick up at this next phrase. It begins, although true believers be not under the law.
Okay.
Got it?
Yep.
Okay. Although true believers be not under the law as a covenant of works.
Hold on just a second. Como los verdaderos creyentes no siendo bajo la ley como una obra, como un pacto de obras. Perdón, no están bajo la ley como un pacto de obras.
To be thereby justified or condemned.
Para ser justificado o condenado.
Yet it is of great use to them as well as to others.
Pero es de gran uso a ellos, a otros también.
This is talking about one of the uses of the law.
Está hablando de los usos de la ley.
In that as a rule of life, informing them of the will of God.
Como una regla de vida para formarlos en la voluntad de Dios.
And their duty.
Y su deber.
It directs and binds them to walk accordingly.
Dirige y atado ellos a andar de acuerdo con la palabra.
Discovering also the sinful pollutions.
Descubriendo también los poluciones pecaminosos.
Of the natures of their natures, hearts, and lives.
De sus naturalezas, corazones y vidas.
So as examining them thereby.
Para examinarlos, entonces,
they may come to further conviction of, humiliation for, and hatred against sin.
Ellos llegan aún más a la convicción de humillación de y convicción de los pecados.
So this is sort of normal Protestant evangelicalism set within a Reformed context.
Este es evangelismo o evangélicos normal. Puesto en un contexto reformado.
And is a part of evangelical identity in Baptists.
Y es un parte de la identidad evangélico en los bautistas.
Now, the next part of evangelicalism has to do specifically with the work of Christ.
La siguiente parte de los evangélicos tiene que ver específicamente con la obra de Cristo.
So we affirm the necessity and completeness of the work of Christ.
Afirmamos la necesidad y la completión de la obra de Cristo.
Now this is in the Second London Confession, chapter 11, paragraph 3.
Este es de la Confesión Segunda de Londres, capítulo 11, paragrafo 3.
By his obedience and death, Christ paid in full the debt of all those who are justified.
Cristo, por su obediencia y muerte, saldó totalmente la deuda de todos aquellos que son justificados.
By the sacrifice of himself in his blood shedding on Calvary.
Y por el sacrificio de sí mismo en la sangre de su cruz.
And his suffering on their behalf of the penalty they had incurred.
Sufriendo en el lugar de ellos el castigo que merecieron.
He fully and absolutely satisfied all the claims which God's justice had upon them.
Satisfició adecuada, real y completamente a la justicia de Dios en favor de ellos.
Yet their justification is altogether a free grace.
Sin embargo, por cuanto Cristo fue dado por el Padre por ellos, su justificación es completamente por la gracia libre.
Firstly, because Christ, it was the free gift of the Father to act on their behalf.
Primeramente, que Cristo fue el dádiva gratis de Dios para actuar, o libre de Dios para actuar en su lugar.
Secondly, because Christ's obedience and his satisfying the demands of the law was freely accepted on their behalf.
Segundo, porque Cristo's su obediencia y su justificación a la ley en su lugar.
God's exact justice and his rich grace.
La riqueza exacta de Dios. Precisa justicia como la rica gracia de Dios.
Are alike rendered glorious in the justification of sinners.
Fueron glorificadas en la justicia de los pecadores.
Now, let me say, just make a remark about why that article is framed as it is.
Déjame decir un comentario porque este artículo está dicho como es.
The first half of it talks about how our payment is paid absolutely in accordance with God's justice.
La primera parte habla como nuestro pago es pagado completamente satisfaciendo la justicia de Dios.
And some people object, if God's full justice is satisfied, then our salvation is not something given to us freely.
Unos tienen la objeción si la satisfacción de la justicia de Dios es completamente, la justicia de Dios es completamente satisfecho, entonces nuestra salvación no es dado a nosotros libremente.
It would be owed to us by the justice of God.
Sería un deber de Dios por la justicia de Dios.
Well, it is true that God's exact justice had to be satisfied.
Es verdad, la justicia exacta o precisa de Dios tiene que ser satisfecho.
But there did not have to be any kind of covenant of grace in eternity to provide such salvation.
Pero no tenía que tener una pacto de gracia en eternidad de Dios, de parte de Dios, para proveer una salvación así.
So the freeness of it is pushed back into eternity.
La libertad de esta está puesto en eternidad.
In the Father's giving of the Son.
En el Padre dando su Hijo.
In the Son's determination to come and die for the people that God the Father gave him.
En la determinación del Hijo de venir a morir por los que el Padre le había dado.
And because nothing in the sinners themselves deserved this.
Y porque nada en los pecadores mismos merecía esto.
Therefore, salvation is free and totally a result of the love of the Father and the death of the Son and the efficacious work of the Spirit.
Entonces, la salvación dado de Dios es completamente libre en la elección del Padre, la muerte del Hijo y el llamamiento eficaz del Espíritu Santo.
Good. All right, let's look now at another element of evangelicalism.
Vamos a ver otro elemento de evangelismo.
That is what I call conversion above nurture.
Y lo que yo llamo conversión sobre la naturaleza.
At bottom, this means that we look for people to be converted by the Spirit of God.
Esto quiere decir que buscamos que la gente sea convertidos por el Espíritu de Dios.
We do not think that we can educate people into conversion.
No creemos que podemos educar la gente a la conversión.
Now that does not mean that we do not preach the word or teach people the truth.
Este no quiere decir que no predicamos la palabra o enseñar a la gente la verdad.
Because we believe that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God.
Porque creemos que fe viene de oír y oír por la palabra de Dios.
But if a person is to be converted, it must be by an operation of the Spirit of God on his soul.
Pero si una persona va a ser convertido, tiene que ser una operación del Espíritu de Dios sobre su alma.
It's possible for a person to know many things about the Scripture and even to believe that those things are true without having a heart. Go ahead.
No, es posible que una persona sabe mucho de los escrituras y aún crea que esas cosas son verdad.
Without having an affection for those things.
Sin tener un afecto por esas cosas.
It's possible for a person to believe that Jesus actually is the Son of God, even as the devils do.
Es posible que la gente creen que Jesús es el Hijo de Dios verdadero, como los diablos hacen.
But have no genuine faith in him arising out of a love for what he has done.
Pero no tenía ni un fe en él saliendo de un amor por lo que él ha hecho.
So, different from many denominations that baptize their infants.
Diferente de muchas denominaciones que bautizan sus infantes.
And suppose that they will simply grow up to be Christians.
Y se pone que van a crecer a ser cristianos.
Although we train our children,
aunque entrenamos nuestros hijos,
we look for a genuine conversion given by the Spirit of God.
Buscamos una conversión genuina dada por el Espíritu de Dios.
Therefore, that's why I call a part of our evangelicalism conversion above nurture.
Por eso llamo parte de nuestro evangelico, siendo evangelicos, conversión arriba de naturaleza.
And so we do have nurture for the purpose of truth-based conversion.
Christian, ¿cómo se dice nurture?
Training, purposeful training, or
alimentar
para alimentar, sí, para dar.
Entonces tenemos alimentación evangélico por la gente que no conocen Cristo.
But we do not consider the nurture itself the same thing as conversion.
Pero no consideramos la alimentación la misma cosa que conversión.
All right, that's what I deal with under the statement of evangelicalism. Now, are there any questions about that?
Eso es lo que trato bajo el dicho de evangélicos. ¿Alguien tiene una pregunta? Entendieron el punto que él hizo muy bien. Gente puede venir y aprender, pero no se ha convertido. La gente puede aceptar lo que estamos ofreciendo, pero esa no es la conversión.
Por ejemplo, cuando los presbiterianos bautizan a sus niños, ellos están sobreponiendo la naturaleza a la conversión, es decir, al contrario de lo que nos acaba de decir el doctor Tom, o cómo lo hacen ellos. No entiendo ese punto, porque en el evangelicalismo entendemos este punto nosotros como bautistas, pero ellos, ¿cómo lo hacen en ese punto?
He says, according to what you've just taught, we understand that, and as Baptists, it's very easy to see. But how in the world do the Presbyterians understand that?
I think the Presbyterians are schizophrenic on that point.
Creo que los Presbyterianos son esquizofrénicos en este punto.
They have a strong doctrine of effectual calling and the necessity of conversion.
Tiene una doctrina fuerte de llamamiento efectuoso y de conversión.
But they believe that the covenantal relationship of baptism places their children within the covenant of grace until they deny it.
Pero ellos creen que el el acto de el pacto de bautismo lo ponen sus hijos en el pacto de gracia hasta que ellos lo niegan.
And so, adverse to their confession, they believe in a kind of falling from grace.
Entonces, en contra de su convicción, ellos creen en un tipo de caer de la gracia.
I've spoken to Presbyterians about this many times, and they have said that they don't want their children ever to think of themselves as anything other than Christians.
He hablado de los presbiterianos de esta muchas veces. Ellos dicen que ellos nunca quieren que sus hijos piensen que no son cristianos. I'll inject something here. Lo meto algo aquí. Their doctrine shows it. Su doctrina lo muestra. Thomas Watson on ask, what is the effect of baptism? Thomas Watson, cuando lo hace la pregunta, ¿cuál es el efectoso de bautismo? This is a great Puritan. Es un gran puritano. On point number three, he says this. En punto número tres, dice esta. The child baptized is under a special care and providence. El niño bautizado está bajo de un cuidado especial y providencial. More special of Christ, más especial de Cristo, that designs a tutelage of angels, que diseña una tutela de ángeles, that he would be kept of this, that they would keep the salvation of the infant, que cuida la salvación del infante. And then they believe they can lose that. Y creen que pueden perder esto.
Yeah, well, if angels are the only ones keeping it, then they certainly will lose it.
Si los ángeles son los únicos que lo cuiden, entonces ciertamente van a perderlo. Amen.
Okay, and I'd say that not to make fun of my wonderful Presbyterian friends at all. I just think it's a theological inconsistency.
Digo esto no para burlar de mis amigos y hermanos presbiterianos. Solo es una inconsistencia teológica.
And it was precisely against that point that Baptists moved from this sort of that infant baptism reform view into Baptist life.
Es este punto que llevó los bautistas a salir del punto de vista de reformado de bautismo de infantes al punto bautista.
All right, let's look at the next point then, unless there's something else that we really need to say there.
Vamos a ver el siguiente punto, si están listos.
Now, this next point is something that probably many people within Baptist life are hesitant about.
El siguiente punto es un punto que mucha gente en la vida bautista son hesitantes de esto.
But I want to affirm that Baptists are confessional and catechetical.
Quiero confirmar que los bautistas son confesionales y catequeticales.
Yes. Baptists have not had a creed that defined the entire denomination, such as the Presbyterians have had.
Los bautistas no han tenido un credo que define toda la denominación como los presbiterianos.
But that does not mean that they have not seen the usefulness of confessions.
Pero esto no quiere decir que no han visto la importancia del uso de confesiones.
Both for making clear their views of biblical truth for achieving unity within their various associations.
Para las dos, haciendo claro lo que ellos creen y segundo, guardando la unidad entre sus relaciones.
Also, Baptists have practiced the use of catechetical instruction in order to communicate with precision.
También los bautistas han utilizado los catecismos para instruir con precisión.
The truth to which the heart must be conformed in the experience of faith.
la verdad de lo cual el corazón tiene que ser conformado con la experiencia de la fe.
The Philadelphia Association encouraged the use of catechisms in the homes.
La Asociación de Filadelfia animó el uso de catecismos en el hogar.
That was the first Baptist Association in America.
Esta era la primera asociación bautista en Estados Unidos.
And they reprinted the Baptist Catechism to give to their churches for this purpose.
Ellos imprimieron el catecismo bautista para dar a sus iglesias para instruir.
Charles Spurgeon used a version of the Baptist Catechism in instructing the children in his church.
Carlos Spurgeon usó una versión del catecismo bautista para instruir los niños en su iglesia.
And he encouraged the parents to use this catechism at home.
Y él también animó a los padres para usar ese catecismo en su casa.
Richard Furman, who was pastor of the First Baptist Church of Charleston.
Richard Furman era pastor de Primera Iglesia Bautista de Charleston, North Carolina.
South Carolina. Which was the first Baptist church in the South.
Que era la primera Iglesia Bautista en el Sur.
Required that family members teach their children the catechism.
Requería que los miembros de la familia enseñaban a sus hijos el catecismo.
And once a quarter would bring all the children before the congregation to ask them the questions that they were to have memorized that quarter.
Y cada cuarto de año traía a los niños enfrente de la iglesia para preguntar a los niños las preguntas que ellos debían saber este cuarto de año.
And he would ask them questions from the youngest to the eldest concerning the catechetical responses.
Y él pregunta a los niños, del más niño joven a la más grande, las preguntas y respuestas del catecismo.
One of the ladies who actually was in a group like that has left a testimony about its effect.
Una de las mujeres que estaban en ese grupo dejó un testimonio de su efecto.
She said that sometimes he would ask the youngest ones and they would respond in a very soft voice.
Dice, unas veces preguntaba a las más niños, los más jóvenes, y ellos responden en un voz muy suave.
And then Furman would say, a little louder, my child.
Y el pastor dirá, un poco más fuerte, mi hijo.
Then the child would speak much too loudly, much to the amusement of the congregation.
Y después el niño hablaba demasiado fuerte a la risa de la congregación.
We could give other examples of Baptist pastors and associations that used catechism as a means of teaching biblical truth.
Podemos dar otros ejemplos y historias sobre los bautistas que usaron catecismo para mostrar la verdad.
All right, now I want to look at the Baptist use of confessions of faith.
Ahora quiero ver el punto de vista bautista de confesión de fe. Hey, Brother Tom, will you answer just a quick question here?
Sure.
Will you explain what a catechism is? Some of these guys might not know. I don't think there would be one that wouldn't know, but they might only associate it with Catholicism.
Right. Some people think that catechisms usually are a substitute for true faith.
Unos hombres creen que catecismos es una sustituto por la fe verdadera.
Because they're used in Anglicanism and in Catholicism before confirmation.
Porque están usados en la iglesia episcopaliana y católico antes de una profesión de fe.
And once the child can memorize a certain number of the catechetical responses, they are confirmed.
Y cuando un niño puede memorizar las preguntas y respuestas del catecismo, son confirmados.
But Baptists have not used it for that purpose.
Pero los bautistas no han utilizado por este propósito.
Baptists use it because of their understanding of faith coming by hearing.
Los bautistas lo utilizan porque fe viene de oír.
Faith is not an empty emotional response.
Fe no es una respuesta emocional vacío.
It is something that focuses on substantial reality of truth.
Es algo que basa en una realidad sustancial de la verdad.
If we have faith, it will be in Jesus Christ, his person and work.
Si tenemos fe, será en el Señor Jesucristo, su persona y su obra.
So the catechism is given in order to put that kind of understanding in the mind to help with expression of faith.
Entonces, el catecismo está dado para dar entendimiento a la mente para provocar la fe. Amen. I'm gonna say something real quick here, Brother Tom. Brother Randall has written a Reformed Baptist catechism. Hermano Randall escribió una catecismo reformado bautista. It's the only catechism I know of that deals with the church. Es el único catecismo que sé que se trata con la iglesia. And we're working on getting it translated for you. Estamos trabajando en que sea traducido por ustedes. And it's in the format of a family devotion guide. It's in a formato de una guía familiar, so that you can give it to the people in your churches para que puedas dar a la gente en tu iglesia. And it'll be a whole plan of their week's worth of family devotion. Y será todo un plan de su semana de la devocional familiar en la iglesia. So we're hoping to get that out soon. Estamos esperando a producir esto prontamente.
Good. Bueno.
Amen.
Una buena idea. So let's look now at the issue of confessions of faith.
Vamos a ver el asunto de la confesión de fe.
In Baptist life, this looks at two elements.
En la vida bautista, esta ve dos elementos.
Which I think is a much more full understanding of confession than is had in non-Baptist congregations.
Que creo que es un entendimiento mucho más complejo de los que no son bautistas, en los organizaciones no bautistas.
Because it relates, first of all, to cognitive understanding.
Porque relaciona primeramente al entendimiento cognitivo.
And second, to an experiential acquaintance with the leading truths of the gospel.
Segundo, una relación experiencial con el evangelio.
These two are put together in the book of Romans chapter 10.
Esos dos son juntados en el libro de Romanos capítulo 10.
Where the Apostle Paul summarizes it with, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved.
Donde Apostle Pablo dice que si confesarás con tu boca que Jesús es el Señor y creerás es en tu corazón que Dios se levantó de los muertos, serás salvo.
So there is the truth, the belief with the mind of the cognitive truth about who Jesus is.
Ahí está la creencia con la mente a la verdad cognitiva con la mente que Jesús es el Señor.
And the fact that the affections have fully embraced that cognitive truth.
Y el afecto de la alma ha aceptado con toda su sinceridad las verdades cognitivas.
Yeah. Believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead.
Creer en tu corazón que Jesús lo levantó, Dios lo levantó de la muerte.
So let's look just a bit at this idea of cognitive understanding.
Vamos a ver esa idea de entendimiento cognitiva.
John says in 1 John 4.
Juan dice en 1 de Juan 4.
Verses 2 and 3.
Versículos 2 y 3.
By this you may know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God.
En esto conoce el Espíritu de Dios. Todo espíritu que confese de Jesús, Jesucristo, ha venido de carne, es de Dios. Y todo espíritu que no confesa que Jesucristo ha venido de carne, no es de Dios.
So that is a very strong and important point of cognitive understanding as to who Jesus actually is.
Este es un punto muy fuerte y claro de un entendimiento cognitivo de quién es Jesús y dónde venía Jesús.
And if a person does not believe that truth with the mind, then he cannot be from God.
Y si una persona no cree esta verdad con la mente, no puede ser de Dios.
And so we insist on some level of actual cognitive understanding and mental belief of those propositions revealed in Scripture.
Entonces insiste de una creencia cognitiva en la mente o conocimiento medio de estas verdades de Escritura.
And it is in a confession of faith that we have those truths synthesized according to various subjects.
Y tenemos en una confesión de fe esas verdades de la Biblia sintetizado en sistemáticamente.
We do not substitute the confession of faith for biblical exposition.
No sustituimos la confesión de fe por la exposición bíblica.
But a confession of faith can help us with our exposition by showing how these passages of Scripture are synthesized with the entire canon of Scripture.
Pero una confesión de fe puede ayudarnos en la exposición de la palabra, mostrándonos cómo están puestos esas verdades en el contexto de toda la Escritura.
Should I expand that some, or is that
a... Yeah, that would probably be a good idea.
There are certain statements of Scripture which, if left standing alone, would seem to teach heresy.
Hay unos dichos de Escritura que si tomamos afuera de su contexto parece que enseña herejía.
For example, Jesus says, "The Father is greater than I." In what sense does he mean that?
Jesús dijo, "El Padre es mayor que yo." ¿En qué sentido quería decir eso?
Some could say, "Well, Jesus is inferior to the Father in essence."
Unos pueden decir que Jesús es inferior al Padre en esencia.
In fact, this is what Arius in the 3rd century taught, that Jesus was of a different essence from the Father.
Eso es lo que enseñó Arius de Jesús en el 3er siglo, que Jesús es de diferente esencia.
Another scripture says, "I and the Father are one."
Otra escritura dice, "Yo y el Padre son uno."
Now that could be taken in an orthodox sense, that we are of the same essence.
Este puede ser tomado en un sentido ortodoxo, que somos de la misma esencia.
Or someone like Sabellius could say that the Son is merely a modal expression of the Father.
Or alguien como Sabellius puede decir que el Hijo solo es una expresión de modo del Padre.
But we build a doctrine of who Christ is from putting together all the various expressions we have about him, both from his own words and from the apostles.
So nosotros juntamos una doctrina de Cristo de los dos, de sus propias palabras y la doctrina de los apóstoles.
And it is a confession of faith that helps us synthesize all of those things into a doctrine of who Jesus Christ is.
Y es una confesión de fe que nos ayuda a juntar todas esas doctrinas de quién es Cristo.
Now that is not to substitute for our own stewardship of the word.
Ese no debe ser el sustituto de nuestro propio trabajo en la palabra de Dios.
But it can help us understand how others with whom God has gifted the church understood those ideas.
Puede ayudarnos a entender cómo otros de los cuales Dios ha dado a la iglesia y entendimiento lo hicieron.
So in a confession of faith, we get something of the flavor of what Augustine believed.
Entonces en una confesión de fe entendemos algo de el sabor de lo que creyó Augustino.
And God has given Augustine to the church only one time.
Y Dios dio a Augustino a la iglesia solo una vez.
In a confession of faith, we can understand something of what Calvin believed about these scriptures as they were put together.
En una confesión de fe, podemos entender de lo que Calvino entendió de las escrituras.
And God has given only one John Calvin to the church.
Y Dios dio solo un Juan Calvino a la iglesia.
In a confession of faith, we can understand something about what Martin Luther said those passages meant.
En una confesión de fe, podemos entender de lo que dijo Martin Lutero sobre estos pasajes.
And God has given only one Martin Luther to the church.
Y Dios solo ha dado uno, solo Martin Lutero a la iglesia.
So in a confession of faith, we're able to harvest the truths that God's gifts to the church have bequeathed to us.
En una confesión de fe, podemos tomar cosecha de la verdad de las escrituras que Dios nos ha dado.
Now, you are free to disagree with the confession of faith.
Estás libre, completamente libre, de estar desacuerdo con una confesión de fe.
But you need to be sure that your exegesis of Scripture is superior to that is reflected in the confessional article.
Pero debes saber que tu exegesis de la Escritura es superior de lo que está puesto en un artículo de fe.
And if a confession of faith is a part of the unity you have with other brethren, one should make sure that you're involved in a corporate discussion about that before you simply state your disagreement.
Y si tu confesión es parte de lo que causa la relación entre otros, debes tener una conversación con esos otros antes que declaras en contra de tu confesión.
We are dealing with that particular issue in Southern Baptist life now, in fact.
En la Convención Bautista del Sur, aquí en Estados Unidos, se están tratando esta mera cosa.
Should I say more, or is that teasing it out enough?
I think that's good. I think that was very good. Thank you.
Okay. And so, cognitive understanding is one of the things that we look for in the confession of faith.
Entonces, algo que buscamos en una confesión de fe es un entendimiento cognitivo de las escrituras.
But Baptists also want to have a personal confession of belief in those things.
Pero también los bautistas quieren tener una profesión personal de las creencias ahí en las escrituras.
We want not only to have a doctrine of sin, but we want a person to express the condemning power of personal sin in his life.
No solamente queremos tener una doctrina de pecado, pero queremos que la persona confiese el poder de condenación de su propio pecado.
We don't want only to say that Christ has died, the just for the unjust, and that his death was the result actually of his perfect obedience.
No solamente queremos decir que Jesús murió el justo por injusto y también que era suficiente su muerte.
But we want someone to confess that they sense their hopeless estate without the death and righteousness of Christ.
Pero queremos que alguien confiese su vida sin esperanza, sin la obra de Cristo.
We don't want a person only to say that they believe Jesus is Lord and thus God.
No solamente que la gente, queremos que la gente decir que Jesús es Señor y entonces Dios.
But we want to hear them say that therefore they trust him and will obey his commands.
Pero queremos escuchar que ellos confían en él y van a obedecer sus mandamientos.
We do not want a person only to say that God gives eternal life to believers.
No solamente queremos que una persona decir que Dios da la vida al pecadores.
But we want to hear, at least to some degree, their own personal hope of eternal life.
Pero también queremos escuchar a un grado su esperanza personal en Jesucristo.
So we, in our affirming confession of faith, we affirm those two things.
Entonces, en nuestra confirmando la confesión de fe, confirmamos esas dos cosas.
That is the cognitive understanding of the totality of Scripture as much as possible.
Es el entendimiento cognitivo de la totalidad de las escrituras lo más que es posible.
And the submission and love of the heart for those truths that are thus revealed.
Pero también la sujeción y la verdad de esta sujeción y amor por estas verdades que están revelados en las escrituras.
I want to read just one. I know our time is gone, so this will be the last thing before some questions. I can come back next week and finish this if you don't mind.
If that's good.
Would fit in with your schedule. I don't want to usurp what you're doing.
We can have you back next week, sir.
Okay. B.H. Carroll, who was the founder of the Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary.
B.H. Carroll, que era fundador del seminario de Southwestern in Fort Worth.
Taught a course in the English Bible.
Enseñó una clase de la Biblia de inglés.
This is for those who could not take the original languages of Greek and Hebrew.
Este era para los que no podían tomar los cursos de la Biblia en el idioma original, hebreo y griego.
But he wanted them to have a full and comprehensive understanding of the whole Bible.
Él quería que ellos tenían un completo entendimiento de la Biblia entera.
And in his commentary on the book of Ephesians, that's speaking about the great unities of the faith.
En su comentario en el libro de Efesios, que está hablando de la gran unidad de la fe.
He has a very strong statement about the usefulness of confessions and creeds.
Él tiene una frase, un dicho muy fuerte sobre el uso de confesiones y credos.
I'll read this sentence by sentence, not to be tedious, but just to make sure that our translator is not overwhelmed.
Voy a leer esta frase por frase, no para ser tedioso, pero para que no está sobregirado nuestro traductor.
He says, all the modern hue and cry against dogma is really against morals.
Todo el clamor y burla o rechazo moderno de la dogma is in realidad en contra de morales.
The more we reduce the number of creed articles, the more we undermine practical religion.
Más que quitamos de las frases y dichos de los credos, más quitamos de la mente de cristiano.
So you can see that this understanding of both the cognitive aspect and the confessional practical aspect.
Puedes ver que son los dos, el aspecto cognitivo de la mente y también el aspecto de confesión.
He goes on.
Él sigue.
Neither Christ nor the apostles predicate morals on any other than a doctrinal foundation.
Cristo ni los apóstoles crece
morals,
la doctrina sobre moral o otra cosa.
Neither Christ nor the apostles predicate morals on any other than a doctrinal foundation.
Que cualquier otro base que la base doctrinal.
And what one of the doctrines in the three preceding chapters, that is, of Ephesians.
¿Y cuál de las doctrinas en los tres capítulos anteriores de Efesios?
Can we omit from our creed without omitting something profitable in our life?
¿Podemos quitar de nuestro credo sin quitar algo importante de nuestra vida?
A Christian's creed should enlarge and not diminish.
El credo de cristiano debe hacer más grande, no hacer más pequeño.
Up to the last utterance of Revelation.
Hasta la última palabra de Apocalipsis.
In order that each article might be transmitted into experience.
Para que cada artículo pueda ser transmitido a experiencia.
A church with a little creed is a church with a little life.
Una iglesia con un credo pequeño es una iglesia con una vida pequeña.
The more divine doctrines a church can agree on, the greater its power.
La más doctrinas divinas que una iglesia puede estar de acuerdo, a más su poder.
And the wider its usefulness.
Y la más ancho su utilidad.
The fewer its articles of faith.
Los más pocos su artículos de fe.
The fewer its bonds of union and compactness.
Más pocos sus ligadores de unión y compresión.
The modern cry, less creed and more liberty.
El grito moderno, menos credo, más moral.
Is a degeneration from the vertebrate to the jellyfish.
Es una degradación del vértebre a la pez, que es como así. Jellyfish. No sé cómo se dice. I don't know how to say jellyfish. ¿Cómo se dice jellyfish? A pez que hace así en el agua.
A fish without a backbone.
Medusa.
Yeah, we got it.
And it means less unity and less morality and more heresy.
Quiere decir menos unidad, menos moralidad y más herejía.
Definitive truth does not create heresy.
La verdad definitiva no crea herejía.
It only exposes and corrects.
Solo expone y corrige.
Shut off the creed.
Apaga el credo.
And the Christian world would fill up with heresy.
Y el mundo cristiano debe se llena con herejía.
Unsuspected and uncorrected, but nonetheless deadly.
Sin esperada, sin corregido, pero a la muerte.
To hold discipline for immoralities.
Aplicar disciplina por inmoralidades.
And relax it on doctrine.
Y relajando sobre la doctrina.
Puts the cart before the horse and attempts to heal a stream while leaving the fountain impure.
Se pone el carrito enfrente del caballo y trata a sanar un río chiquito y deja la fuente abierto.
Very solemnly, I would warn the reader against any teaching that decries doctrines.
Yo solemnemente reprende cualquier enseñanza que hace menor la doctrina.
Or which would reduce the creed of the church into two or three articles.
O reduce el credo de la iglesia a dos o tres artículos.
We are entitled to no liberty in these matters.
No estamos, no tenemos derecho de ninguna libertad en estos asuntos.
It is a positive and very hurtful sin to magnify liberty at the expense of doctrine.
Es positivo y una lástima de pecado a quitar doctrina.
A creed is what we believe.
Un credo es lo que creemos.
A confession of faith is a declaration of what we believe.
Una confesión es una declaración de lo que creemos.
The church must both believe and declare.
La iglesia debe creer y declarar.
The longest creed of history.
El credo más largo de historia.
Is more valuable and less hurtful than the shortest.
Tiene más valor y hace daño menos que el más corto.
So spoke B.H. Carroll.
Así dijo B.H. Carroll. Wow.
Yeah. All right. Any questions?
Yeah. Will you email me that? What a great statement by Carol.
Yeah, I'll send that to you.
I have a word of encouragement.
Tengo un palabra de ánimo.
Seems to be the history of the Southern Baptist Convention.
Parece que es la historia de la Convención de Bautista del Sur.
To depart from what we just heard.
De salir de lo que acabamos de escuchar.
The confession they hold to just gets smaller.
La confesión que mantiene se hace más pequeño.
They say less and less and less.
Dice menos y menos y menos.
I'm not sure why they don't just hold to the second London confession.
No estoy seguro porque no solo atestan la segunda confesión de Londres.
But their present confession doesn't say much of anything.
Pero la confesión presente no dice mucho de nada.
So then what happens with that line of thought?
Lo que pasa con esa línea de pensamiento.
Is you look at church web pages.
Es que ves los páginas de la iglesia.
And under their section for doctrine or what we believe.
Y abajo su sección de doctrina, lo que creemos.
They don't say anything.
No dicen nada.
And so there's all this confusion throughout the denomination.
Entonces hay mucha confusión abajo de la denominación.
And so for pastors like myself and for you guys.
Entonces pastores como yo y ustedes.
We would be better served to say more.
Seremos mejor servido a decir más.
Know what you believe.
Sabe de lo que crees.
Write out what you believe.
Escribir lo que crees.
Explain to your church what you hold to.
Explica a tu iglesia lo que atestas.
The more you can state and teach your people.
Más que puedes decir y enseñar tu gente.
The stronger your church is going to be.
La más fuerte va a ser tu iglesia.
Have a view on what your soteriology is.
Tengas una punta de vista cuál es tu soteriología.
Ecclesiology.
Ecclesiología.
And so on and so forth.
Y sigue, sigue, sigue.
But we have a Bible given to us by God.
Tenemos una Biblia dado a nosotros por Dios.
And pastors ought to study this Bible.
Los pastores deben estudiar esta Biblia.
We ought to know what we believe about the things that matter.
Debemos saber lo que creemos sobre las cosas que importan.
We need to state those things unapologetically to our churches.
Debemos decir esas cosas sin disculpa a nuestras iglesias.
And as a result, we work together with other local churches who believe the same things.
Y como resultado, trabajamos con otras iglesias locales que creen la misma cosa.
And we encourage one another and stir one another on to good works.
Animamos uno al otro y animamos a las buenas obras.
Yeah, that's my word of encouragement.
Amen, brother. Let me tell you guys of something that happened this week. Déjame decir a ustedes lo que pasó esta semana. We had to send out a letter, our church this week, tuvimos que mandar una carta a nuestra iglesia esta semana of someone who is going to be removed from membership, de alguien que va a ser quitado de membresía. And here the elders of the church, aquí los ancianos de la iglesia, we met together, juntamos, and looked at what a church member is, y vemos que es un miembro de una iglesia. And our confession, the Second London Confession, nuestra confesión, la segunda confesión de Londres, defines this so clearly, lo define tan claramente. So if we're trying to work in our churches, si estamos tratando a ver en nuestra iglesia, and we can study the scriptures, estudiamos las escrituras, and come to a conclusion of what a church member is, llegar a una conclusión de lo que es un miembro de la iglesia. The Second London Confession says this, la segunda confesión de Londres dice esta. The members of these churches are saints by calling. Los miembros de estas iglesias son santos por llamamiento. It says, visibly manifesting and evidencing in and by their profession and walking. Dice, en una forma visible manifestación y evidenciando por su profesión de su fe y conducto. Their obedience unto that call of Christ, su obediencia a este llamamiento de Cristo, and do willingly consent to walk together. Y dice aquí, y voluntariamente acuerdan andar juntos. Well, these people decided not to walk together. Esta gente decidieron a no andar juntos, so they can no longer be a member. Ya no pueden ser miembro. And so if we have a robust confession, si tenemos un confesión completo, then we can work and serve our churches better. podemos trabajar y servir nuestras iglesias mejor. I love what B.H. Carroll said there, brother. Me encanta lo que dijo Carroll ahí. Estaba muy exacto. You might have any questions for Brother Tom this morning. ¿Alguien tiene una pregunta para hermano Tom esta mañana?
Una pregunta, por favor.
A question.
Dr. Nettles. Yeah, brother, Dr. Nettles doesn't need to answer it today since he'll be back next week.
Hermano Nettles no necesita contestar hoy porque va a regresar la siguiente semana.
Because I'm sure some of the brothers, the pastors on the call probably have questions as well. So I'll spit this out pretty quick. Huh. How would Dr. Nettles give distinctions between what's necessary, what confession would be necessary unto salvation versus what confession is necessary unto introduction into church membership versus what confession would be necessary for a man ordained to the ministry in that church? What confession should be necessary for the fellowship amongst churches? You know, there's going to be distinctions between that. I'd just be interested to hear him speak to that a bit.
¿Quieres saber de cuál es la necesaria de confesión del asunto de doctrina básica, la ordenación de pastor, membresía en la iglesia? ¿Es necesario que tenemos una confesión que conteste todas esas preguntas?
Well, I think that the question is perceptive in that it does see different levels of knowledge for different functions within the body of Christ.
Reconoce la pregunta que hay diferentes niveles de conocimiento por el cuerpo de Cristo.
And so without going into sort of full explanations of each of these,
sin meterme tanto en una completamente explicación de cada uno de estos.
Not that I could give a full explanation of any of them.
Ni podía dar una explicación completa de cualquier de estas cosas.
But we see for a person to be received into membership, there has to be some sort of union between his experience and the very basic understanding of Christ's person and work.
Vemos, para que alguien pueda ser recibido como miembro de nuestra iglesia, tiene que ser mínimo una de acuerdo con la persona y obra de Cristo.
A person also should be committed to being taught in accordance with a larger confession of faith.
También una persona debe ser comprometido de ser enseñado por una más grande confesión de fe.
This is one of the things that a confession of faith serves in a church, is so all members know this is what I'm going to hear, and this is what they're driving me toward.
Esto también sirve a la congregación en la iglesia. Esto es lo que voy a escuchar y esto es lo que me lleven a.
Now, those who are to be officers within a church, either deacons or elders.
Los que deben tomar un oficio en la iglesia, anciano or diáconos.
Must have a full working of the confession of faith and conscientiously commit to its truths.
Deben saber de la confesión de fe y saber la obra de la confesión de fe.
It's very clear from 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus.
Es muy claro de 1 y 2 Timoteo y Tito.
And other places in Scripture.
Y otros lugares en las Escrituras.
That those who teach are to have a very deep and intimate acquaintance with Scripture and with a confession of faith.
Los que enseñan los escrituras deben ser un conocimiento amplio de las escrituras y con la confesión de fe.
1 Timothy 3, right after Paul calls the church the pillar and buttress of truth.
En 1 Timoteo 3, después que Pablo dice que la iglesia es la columna de la verdad,
he gives a 6-article confession of faith that summarizes the incarnation and the work and the ascension of Christ.
Él da una confesión de fe de 6 artículos que explica la muerte, la obra y resurrección de Cristo.
As well as the preaching of the gospel.
También la predicación del evangelio.
And so the one who is to teach the scripture has to have a deeper grasp and an ability to communicate it clearly to others.
Entonces, el quien va a enseñar las escrituras tiene que tener un entendimiento y puede comunicarlo a otros.
So this is the, this puts together both the experience of the truth and the belief of the truth.
Este se junta the entire congregation. La experiencia de la verdad y la predicación de la verdad en toda la congregación. Amen. ¿Alguien más tiene otra pregunta para Dr. Nettles esta mañana?
Yo puedo preguntar algo.
Claro. Adelante.
En estos días es muy común que hacen escuela bíblica con los niños. Y yo estoy convencido que es mejor usar el catecismo que todas esas canciones y músicas de Cristo está en mi corazón para enseñar a los niños. ¿Cuál sería un argumento útil o eficaz, digamos, para tratar de ayudar a la iglesia a que empiece a ver esta, la diferencia entre estas cosas modernas y el uso de catecismos para enseñar
a los niños? The question is, today in Sunday school, many people use all kinds of children's Sunday school material. What would be a good argument of using the catechism for Sunday school for children?
I would think that the catechism can be a supplementary aspect of the education of children.
Yo creo que el catecismo puede ser un aspecto sustitucional por la educación de los niños.
There's nothing wrong with teaching them the stories of the Bible.
No hay nada mal enseñándolos las historias de la Biblia.
Knowing the difference between the Old and the New Testament.
Sabiendo la diferencia del Antiguo y Nuevo Testamento.
Understanding the loving, compassion, miraculous life of Christ.
Sabiendo la amoroso, compasión, vida de Cristo.
But each week could be given over to some element of catechetical instruction.
Pero cada semana puede ser dado a un punto de instrucción del catecismo.
And there can be graded levels of these catechisms.
Y puede ser diferentes niveles, grados de estos catecismos. It's 11 o'clock.
In fact, there is a catechism called a catechism for girls and boys that could be used like the sixth grade through eighth grade.
De hecho, hay un catecismo, se llama catecismo de hombre, niños y niñas, que puede ser de segundo a sexto grado.
And then by the time they're in the ninth, what we would call the ninth grade, they could be using an expanded catechism like the Westminster Shorter or the Baptist Catechism.
O cuando se hacen más grandes, pueden usar otro catecismo más expandado.
And as the education becomes more and more focused on exegesis of books of the Bible rather than stories in the Bible.
Y más como la educación se cambia de exegesis de la Biblia, de historias de la Biblia.
Then the catechetical instruction becomes more mature also.
La instrucción en catecismo puede ser aún más maduro.
So I think putting those two together is a good theory of education in the church.
Juntando esas dos es un buen educación en la iglesia. Amen.
And I think that this also should be used in adults. They learn more slowly, but it can be helpful.
Y también creo que ese debe ser utilizado en adultos. Ellos aprenden más lento, pero puede ser. Brother Randall, can you speak to that just for a second, just in your family, what you've seen in the catechism?
The thing of it is there has to be consistency.
La cosa es que tiene que ser consistencia.
And if you can ever get your people to do these things at home.
Y si puedes convencer tu gente a hacer esas cosas en sus hogares.
And then to reaffirm them at church.
Reafirmarlos en la iglesia.
It will bear a lot of fruit for your church family.
Produce mucho fruto por tu familia.
People need to learn how to answer questions.
La gente necesita aprender cómo responder a preguntas.
Good point.
More than saying just yes or no.
Más de solo decir sí or no.
And a good catechism will help them to formulate answers.
Un buen catecismo lo ayuda a formar respuestas.
Have a firm biblical foundation.
Tener una firme fundamento bíblico.
And it also will cause them to think if they have good questions.
Y lo causa pensar si tiene buenas preguntas.
The very thing our society does not want to do.
Think. Primera cosa que nuestra sociedad no quiere hacer.
I've been doing catechism. I have four kids.
Yo tengo cuatro niños, hijos.
I've been doing catechisms for 20 years.
He estado haciendo catecismo 20 años.
But children can learn.
Pero los niños pueden aprender.
And they can develop theology and doctrine.
Ellos pueden desarrollar teología y doctrina.
And that's what's desperately needed within our churches.
Y esta es una necesidad desesperada en nuestra iglesia. Amen. I was out with my boys. We got home after dark the other day. Llegamos después de se bajó el sol otro día. And in the yard behind our house, in the jardín atrás de nuestra casa, there were lightning bugs. Había los bichos de luz. And my youngest son, he's 4. Mi hijo menor es 4. Dad, look, look, look. Papá, mira, mira, mira. Christopher, who made the lightning bugs? Christopher, ¿quién hizo los bichos? God made the lightning bugs. Dios hizo los bichos. Why did God make the lightning bugs and everything else? ¿Por qué Dios hizo los bichos de luz y todo lo demás? For his glory, para su gloria. So you can teach people to learn, puedes enseñar a la gente a aprender, and to make application of what they learn, y hacer aplicación de lo que aprenden in the catechism, in the catecismo. Amen. Dr. Nettles, thank you so much for today. It was so beneficial.
Gracias, gracias.
Muchas gracias por hoy. Tan mucho beneficio.
El gusto es mío.
You already speak Spanish. I'm not translating next week. Hablas español. Ya no voy a traducir la siguiente semana. Thank you so much. We'll have Dr. Nettles back with us next week to finish this up. Vamos a tener hermano Nettles la siguiente semana a terminar esta. So come loaded with questions. Vengas llenos con preguntas. This teaching will be on the firm page on Sermonario. Esta enseñanza será en la enseñanza de firm en Sermonario. So if you want to send that out to someone, si quieres mandar a alguien, puedes hacerlo. You can do it. Send me the text you're going to preach this week. Mándame los textos que van a predicar esta semana so I can pray with you. Carlos, Juan Carlos. Yes, sir.
Jonathan, nomás para adelantar una pregunta para la siguiente semana, para que
okay.
El hermano Tom se prepare.
Ok.
En el asunto de la ordenación, yo creo que en ese necesitamos mucha ayuda porque, por ejemplo, acá en Tabasco tenemos muchas diferencias en varias iglesias en cuanto a este tema, en cuanto a que si la iglesia ordena o son la alianza ministerial. Por aquí he escuchado frases como que si la iglesia ordena, ese pastor realmente no tiene derecho a hacer cena del Señor, no tiene derecho a bautizar, sino que solamente es un pastor desordenado. Entonces queremos entender claramente cuál es la ordenación bíblica, cuál es la ordenación que ha hecho históricamente la iglesia bautista. En el caso de iglesias donde la mayoría de nosotros somos pastores porque surgió la necesidad, no porque realmente hemos sido preparados para eso, no hubo un pastor que nos haya impuesto las manos, sino que surgió porque no había liderazgo, la mayoría está ahí por eso. Entonces quisiéramos tener una idea clara de la ordenación, qué es lo que,
okay,
cómo se debe. Entonces, la siguiente semana esperamos poder estar aquí también y escuchar parte de esto, ¿no?
Amen. So, Dr. Nettles, Carlos is saying maybe on next week you can touch quickly about ordination. What is a biblical concept of ordination? He said they have a big problem where they are in Tabasco, that the convention says if a local church has ordained them and not the convention, that they don't have power to baptize or administer the Lord's Supper. And so there seems to be some confusion there. And so he's asking the question, as Baptists, what has been historically the position on ordination? And so he wants to go ahead and ask that for next week.
Okay, good. So, thanks for the heads up.
Muchas gracias, hermanos. Mándame los textos para que pueda orar por ustedes. Espero que tengan excelente día.
Igualmente, bendiciones.
Igualmente. Gracias. Hermano Rigo, yo te mando un link ahorita.
Gracias, hermanos.
Ok, gracias, hermano.
Dios, Brother Tom.
Dios, bendiciones.
Bendiciones, hermano. Before you go, Brother Tom, I want to show you something. This up here, above my head here, if you can see it. I don't know, can you see it?
Yeah, is that a frame?
Yes, that is the bulletin from the ordination of Adoniram Judson.
Are you kidding me?
No, it is the only printing of the first edition. There's in the seminaries, there are some printings of the second edition, but it's the only printing of the first edition. And it was
a congregational church in Massachusetts.
It was a Presbyterian church where.
Oh, Presbyterian church.
Yes, he was ordained Presbyterian along with Luther Rice. And Gardner Spring's dad preached the ordination, preached the charge that night. It's an incredible sermon. You can read it online. But he preached, as you go, they were sending him off to Burma. As you go, reject the culture and preach the gospel. And then you know the story. He later becomes Baptist when he meets Carrie and India, but that's the original bulletin, the only one imprinted. And the same man who printed it printed the War of 1812. So I thought you would appreciate that.
Yeah, well, that is a priceless thing to have. And you know, we're not fetishist type people, but we surely do appreciate reminders of God's providence in history, don't we?
Absolutely. I charge people $25 to come and get an extra portion of the spirit from Adoniram from it. So.
As soon as the coin in the coffer clings, the soul up from Purgatory Springs.
Exactly. You can get yours out if you just come. And you can even, for $5, extend your hand right now and you can receive
okay.
it. But I figured you would. I also have... there you go. I also have that I'm going to try to get them up this week. 4 magazines from the Baptist from the 1820s reporting on the work of Adoniram Judson. And
Massachusetts Baptist Missionary Magazine.
Exactly. I have 4 of those reporting on Adoniram. One of them has a tribute to John Ryland in it. And it's funny. I almost sent this out on social media before the convention this past year, but one of them lists out how to confront someone in their sin. That's the theological argument article in it. And it gives 5 things you have to do to confront someone in their sin.
Isn't it amazing how those people thought about things, and they thought about all these issues from a biblical confessional standpoint?
They would print out. Some of them have printed out. This person has been removed from membership, and published in the Baptist magazine. Incredible how far we have fallen from that. We draw inspiration. So I just wanted to comment to you that I figured you would appreciate that.
Thank you for sharing that.
You know what's very sad? You'll be saddened by this. The guy who gave me that bulletin tried to sell it to the 6 Southern Baptist seminaries. And you know what the price of it was? $65.
Oh my goodness. That's nothing.
He found it at a garage sale, authenticated it, and tried to sell it, and they said, no, we have a later printing of it. We don't need it.
A later printing. Oh, boy.
It's the only one in existence of the first printing. No. So.
Goodness. Oh, wow. I was speaking at a Spurgeon conference up at Midwestern. Jason Dusing read a letter that was written from someone in England to E.Y. Mullins when he was offered the Spurgeon's library.
Oh, man.
And the letters talked about how it's just not worth what they're asking. It's just antiquated. It is just a lot of old Puritan literature that will do no one any good. Said you would do better to invest in modern books than in the library of this antiquated holdover from Puritanism. You know, and so now Midwestern has it, and they're doing a beautiful job of housing it and of having these conferences. And they've got things in there that they didn't even know they had.
Wow. Wow.
They've got handwritten manuscripts that were in the library at the Metropolitan Tabernacle.
Wow.
Some of them going back to the Glorious Revolution. There was a note in one of them, their sermons on the Covenant of Grace.
Oh, man.
And sermons that are handwritten, beautiful handwritten. And in the middle of between two sermons, there's this note that says, "We give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ for his providential deliverance of us from the errors of papacy by the coming of William of Orange to overthrow the papist in 1688.
Wow, what a jewel.
And it's a handwritten big books, probably got 250 pages in it, all handwritten sermons from someone.
Wow.
It could be Benjamin Keach. It could be something
from the Puritan, right?
Didn't get published.
So, wow. Man, what a jewel. But
and all of that was in that library. They've got other documents like that.
They're doing
a great job. If you get a chance to go up just to see that library and see how they're doing it, it would be a nice little field trip for you.
No kidding. We're taking a trip to a church for pastor appreciation a couple of years ago, took up an offering and through some circumstances, we're doing a Ireland, Scotland and England tour in October. And so I'm trying to lay it all out where I'm going to go and see, but we're going to go to Petit France and see where the confession was written or, you know, right about where it was.
Well, see if you can go to the Metropolitan Tabernacle.
Oh, you're going to. I'm going to go hear Peter Masters.
Well, they're very generous also about allowing you to see their archives.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'll have to send an email.
Ask to see the inquiry books.
Okay.
Because that is where the elders would interview people who are inquiring about church membership.
Baptism.
Yeah. Oh. And it would give the series of questions they would ask and how the people answered and whether or not they recommended them to go see Spurgeon. And they would have to give a card to them if they approved they're going to see Spurgeon. And you can see all of those things. And let's see. I've got, here's a book that has some of them in it. It's called Wonders of Grace. And it is original testimonies of converts during Spurgeon's early years. That's what this one is. But he continued it throughout. They have about 6 or 7 of these volumes.
Oh, man. And you can get that at the church there?
This is from Wakeman Foundation, which does a lot of Peter Masters stuff.
Right.
And they have a nice bookstore at the church.
Great.
This would be available there.
Part of it is I'm going to take some money to try to get, I love antiquities. So I want to get some as old as I can, some of the Puritan works, you know, ravage some of the bookstores there.
Right. Yeah.
Interesting story. I was a missionary in Mexico. That's how I learned Spanish. And the other elder at Brother Randall's church deals with antique books. And he found that at a garage sale, the bulletin of Adoniram Judson. Tried to sell it for $65. And I was a poor missionary and couldn't afford it, but I'm a huge Adoniram fan. I've read several biographies. And just couldn't make an offer. I knew he needed the money, so I couldn't make an offer. And I moved back here. And so I asked him one day, he was here visiting. I said, "John, whoever bought that, where did it end up?" He goes, "No one bought it. No one wanted it." And so he gave it to me for free.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Let me read one of these to you.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
This is on Susan Ng. Lost her parents at age of 10 years. At the age of 18, came up to London, where she fell into all kinds of worldly pleasures and Sabbath breaking. Felt convictions at the same time that it was sinful, but could not resist temptation. Now feels no pleasure, save in the house of God, was much blessed under the sermon entitled The Mission of the Son of Man, also by an appeal made by our pastor after the ordinance to the spectators in the gallery, and felt especially comforted during prayer by the words, "Though your sins be as scarlet," etc. The sermon from the words, "He showed them his hands and his side," was also very precious to her. She is willing to give up all things rather than Christ. Though feeling daily the indwelling of sin, yet feels a sweet sense of forgiveness in Christ. And then another note at the bottom, seen by Brother Barrow, who was well satisfied with this case and gave her a cord accordingly, a card accordingly. So they'd give a card for them to go see Spurgeon if they were satisfied with their testimony.
So after they was checked out by someone in the church, you get to go talk to the pastor about seeing if you could become a member.
Yeah, and all these are elders. These are people that Spurgeon has selected as qualified to listen to the testimonies and the experience of people.
Man, I wrote the name of the book down so I can get it.
Yeah. Something very interesting that he read in that was that the spectators were in the gallery. That would suggest communion or a closed table.
Yeah, he would not allow anyone who was not baptized. He didn't have closed communion. But he would emphasize the necessity of conversion first and then and baptism. And so people who were unconverted or that had a conscience about taking communion before baptism, like he did, they would be in the gallery and they could observe and hear what he would say about the bread and the wine and so forth. But so they could stay as observers.
Would he reject a Presbyterian to the table?
I don't think so. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was more a matter of their conscience. Now, when he was converted, he would not take communion until he was baptized. That was what his conscience believed. It was for baptized believers.
Right.
He did not, however, exclude people whose conscience was not that way. But as long as they were thoroughly convinced of God's grace toward them in salvation.
We just worked through that here at our church through the Lord's Supper. I didn't know what his position was about. Our confession, the Second London Confession, clearly states, about a baptized believer. And so, we would say the Presbyterians are wrongly baptized. That is a distinction. I wondered about that. I wondered if historically the Baptists would take that position.
Well, there has been some disagreement on that, but basically, early, this was one of the things that they believed was absolutely true. There are only two ordinances in the church. One is baptism, which is entrance into the church. The other is the Lord's Supper, which is an ongoing, both an expression of communion with the church upon the basis of an open profession of faith in baptism, and is an expression of union, meaning that they have not been disciplined from the church.
Exactly.
And so anyone who, that the church does not have the right to discipline, it should not invite to the Lord's Supper.
It's the same conclusion we came to, that we as a church have two commandments in the Lord's Supper, I think, in Corinthians, when it says, judge among yourselves. And if one's found guilty of these things, don't even eat with such a one. I think he's talking about the Lord's table. And then examine your own self. So the church has to set a limit for judgment there. Yep. And a line. And I don't see how outside of church membership and baptism, how we can do that.
I agree. Yeah. And you can do it without being snotty toward people. You can express your love for them and all, but just express the desire for a pure church and for a strong witness. This is the way we observe the Lord's Supper.
Because that's what we do. We came to the conclusion here that we announce, if you're not a member of this church, we only serve you if you've been invited to the table. So, families in our church know if somebody's visiting from, their family member and they're, a baptized believer, faithful member of their church, come talk to me before the service and we'll invite them to the table. But that's what we've done. Well, Brother Tom, it's been incredible to have you with us. Appreciate it and look forward to next week.
Thank you for letting me participate.
I think today was so beneficial. some of these guys are really struggling with some of these issues. So,
well, we'll deal with the ecclesiology next week.
Good.
Baptists are consistently separate.
Yes, we are. You know, people throw the term around now being separatist, but we are. I mean, yes, we believe things, and we really
That's where we arose from, the separatism.
Exactly. Well, brother, have a great week.
The separatists weren't consistent enough.
they were not. If you think about it, please email me that B.H. Carroll quote. That was phenomenal.
All right. Sure will.
Have a great day, sir.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.